on the administrative docket of the court, we have three petitions. ADKT 580, 581, and 582. We'll take them in the numerical order. Excuse me. As I've explained in previous oral arguments and public hearings, where the court has conducted those proceedings, the justices are not currently wearing masks. All have been vaccinated. But when people speak, if you would remove, you may remove your mask at the podium. Otherwise, you are to wear a mask while you're in the courthouse and in the common areas. That policy was adopted for the purpose of assuring that those who are not vaccinated will not be exposed to the health threat created by those that we can't screen or we can't confirm have been vaccinated. The first public hearing is on Administrative Docket 0580. All three of these come on petitions that I filed. And in this case, this petition asks the Supreme Court to consider the appointment of a commission to study the Nevada Rules of Appellate Procedure. This petition follows on the heels of a bench bar committee meeting in which members of the bench bar committee were invited to provide comment and input and suggestions to the Nevada Rules of Appellate Procedure for amendment. Frankly, the justices on the court at various times have talked about taking a look at the NRAPs. I know Justice Pickering and Justice Givens, when they went through their extensive work on the rules of civil procedure, noted that this might be the next phase of the court's effort. And so I thought it important to bring this to the court and the bar and the public's attention and secure some public comment and see if a commission should be formed to undertake this effort. I will say that after reviewing the input that the court received from the bench bar members, I'm glad I brought this petition. There was an extensive number of suggestions, and quite frankly, from my point of view at least, a tremendous outline has been provided by the input already from the bench bar committee members of the areas that we should be focused on in considering changes to or amendments to the Nevada Rules of Appellate Procedure. We've received public comment from a number of people, and that has been made part of the record. That public comment in the ADKT comes from Ms. Sharon Dickinson, Ms. Deborah Westbrook, Ms. Janelle Thomas, and Kim Blandino. We invite others and them to add to the public comment if they wish today. I know it's a broad subject. The fundamental question is, should the court establish the commission? Not what rules should be changed. If we get into that discussion, we'll be here for the rest of the year, perhaps. So I'm really interested in knowing whether you think we should proceed with the establishment of the commission. For that, we will ask people to hold their remarks, if they would, to 3 minutes. So I'll invite those who may wish to add or provide additional comment on Administrative Docket 580. Would you please come forward? Ms. Thomas, how are you?
Chief Justice Hardesty, justices, I'm speaking today on behalf of Deborah Westbrook and Sharon Dickinson.
Ms. Thomas.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Thank you. Folks like us that are height challenged, we need to bring the mic down.
Really long time. thank you for having me. I'm here today on my own behalf as the Clark County Special Public Defender, and also Sharon Dickinson and Deborah Westbrook from the Clark County Public Defender's Office are here. We're all in support of the petition. We think it's a great idea to review the rules. We've all submitted our written comments. And if it's the court's pleasure, we would all be willing to serve on the committee.
Wonderful.
Thank you, unless the court has questions.
I don't believe my colleagues do. I forgot to mention that for all of these administrative docket public hearings, Justice Stiglitch is participating. She's viewing this matter live as we speak. Justice Silver, however, is unavailable and will be viewing the proceedings later and, of course, participating in the decision. I would like to thank you, Ms. Thomas, for, as always, as well as your colleagues, Ms. Dickinson and Ms. Westbrook, for excellent suggestions right out of the gate. We really appreciate it, and it'll provide an excellent outline, along with others that we've received, for a commission if the court establishes. So thank you. I don't know if there are any other questions from my colleagues for you. But it's nice to see you, and
good to see you.
Glad to have you back.
Thank you.
Okay. Are there any other persons who'd like to make public comment with respect to Administrative Docket 0580? Are there any persons in Carson City who would like to make public comment on Administrative Docket 580?
No, Chief.
Thank you. Seeing none, then we will submit that administrative docket petition for determination by the court. Let's move now to administrative docket petition 0581. This petition was filed by me in connection with a tremendous amount of input that I have received from the bar since becoming Chief Justice, as well as input that I have received at numerous meetings of conferences of Chief Justice meetings around the country. That is an organization that is made up of all of the Chief Justices of the state Supreme Courts throughout the country, including Guam and Virgin Islands. And the Conference of Chief Justices has been discussing a number of topics that are post-pandemic questions and issues. And one of those topics has to do with the best practices associated with virtual advocacy in the state courts system. A number of state courts have undertaken a review and have established rule committees for the purpose of understanding and making uniform approaches to various topics. Not all of these matters are the same. They all have separate and unique approaches, depending upon the case type, but what has been fairly consistent responses from the bench and bar that I have heard in Nevada and other chief justices have heard is that it is chaotic to have a judge in one district doing something different than this than another judge in the same district on this topic. It is disruptive of the practice. It makes it a very difficult matter to manage. And also, too, as pointed out by some of the comments we received, particularly Judge Zaragoza, there are technological challenges as well as court management challenges that need to be taken into consideration when discussing these matters. I think Nevada needs to take a look at this. I think virtual hearings have been the one, maybe a few others, but principally the one productive outcome from the pandemic, something that the judicial system would have never considered doing without the pandemic, quite frankly. And so what I'm looking at is, are there areas that can make us more efficient, more successful, more accommodating, and quite frankly, improve access to justice for people to be able to participate in these proceedings virtually as opposed to live or in the courtroom. This committee or this commission would study those subjects if approved. As I mentioned earlier, without getting into the weeds of what the rules would look like or what they would contain or what subject matters would be covered, the fundamental question is this a topic that the Supreme Court should appoint a commission to study for Nevada? We have had public comment from a number of folks, including, as noted earlier, Ms. Thomas, Ms. Westbrook, Ms. Dickinson, John Arascotta, John Petty, Patrick Hirsch, from Legal Aid, Judge Stephanie Charter from the 8th Judicial District, Judge Zaragoza from the Las Vegas Justice Court, Marshall Willick and Heidi Almos. And so there are some folks here. If they would like to offer any public comment, they'd be welcome to do so now. So let me invite those in person in Las Vegas if you'd like to offer any public comment on this topic.
Good afternoon. Judge Zaragoza asked me to appear for her because she couldn't be here today. And I know that you all have...
You need to state your appearance for the record.
Judge Ann Zimmerman, thank you. I know that you all have the letter that she wrote, but she also wanted to make the specific request if you determined to create a committee to study this, if we could have a seat at the table. And that's all she wished to communicate in addition to her letter.
Of course.
Thank you.
Thank you, Judge. Anyone else who would like to offer public comment on this matter?
Good afternoon, Judge Stephanie Charter, and I'm currently a dependency judge in the 8th Judicial District Court. And as usual, I'm overprepared, so I won't read all of this because I know you just want to have a singular answer to the singular question of whether or not a commission should be formed and not my extensive comments. But I do believe a commission should be formed, and I, as a dependency judge, I just urge you to be sure that dependency is considered separately and dependency is included in your considerations. And Judge Heidi Almase has asked me to speak for her too, and she also would like to be part of the commission. And if I may just offer a recent example of the impact of the real life impact of virtual hearings and dependency. I was covering a hearing for another dependency judge just last week. The hearing was a critical initial removal hearing, at which time we, as a judge, were supposed to speak to the parent, gain as much information as possible to determine if we have to keep this child in our protective custody. During the hearing, I learned from the caseworker that she notified the father of the hearing by email, but not by phone, as he had a sporadic working email, but he did not have a cell phone. So I asked her, did you tell the father in his email that he could attend court in person? She said, no, I did not, because the judge to whom the case is assigned currently operates that courtroom in a blue jeans only format, which is acceptable, obviously, pursuant to the current administrative order. But the parent had no actual way to attend that hearing. So the unintended consequence of the administrative order sanctioned method of running the courtroom is that this parent had no way to attend this hearing. His child obviously was removed, is in protective custody, but he could not attend the hearing. So it's possible that this parent will never be able to attend a court hearing if the hearings are all conducted via blue jeans. It's also possible that the parent's rights could ultimately be terminated without that parent ever coming to court before a judge. So as you know, as a Nevada Supreme Court, termination of parental rights has been called by the Nevada Supreme Court an exercise of awesome power that is tantamount to imposing the civil death penalty. So, you know, I just implore you as you move forward in this post-pandemic world that hopefully we're entering into to seriously and strongly consider the impact of mandating either blue jeans or having a strong preference for blue jeans in dependency cases. And thank you all for your time.
Thank you, Judge. I appreciate your comments because I think it illustrates the point that not all matters are appropriate for blue jeans if you can get past that, at least the health challenges. But also, too, there are numerous matters that are appropriate for convenience and of the parties. I think the comments we've received on this administrative docket illustrates this point pretty well. Anyone else in... Yes, Ms. Thomas.
Thank you, Justice Hardesty. Jonelle Thomas of the Clark County Special Public Defender's Office. Again, in support of the petition, and it seems to me that there are a variety of considerations in various different areas of the law, and the criminal concerns may be different than the family, may be different than the civil. Although there is certainly some overlap, especially as it comes to e-filing, accessibility of court staff, and technology and equipment
And, you know, I certainly wouldn't presume to tell the court how to structure anything, but I wonder if it might make some sense to have separate committees for some of those issues. This last year, running a law office that never stopped, because with criminal cases, they can't, including conducting a trial, or my office held a trial, not me. I've learned a lot, and I would be happy to participate in a committee, as would Deborah Westbrook, who is here from the Clark County Public Defender's Office.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate the offer. Any other persons in Las Vegas who'd like to address this administrative docket? All right, let me turn to Carson City. Is there anyone in Carson City who would like to address this administrative docket? Sheriff Escada, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Chief Justice. How are you?
Great, thank you for coming.
I'm going to take off my reading glasses because I prepared a whole bunch of remarks that I think get down into the weeds that you prefer not to. And I'd just like to say that the Washoe County Public Defender's Office is here in support of ADKT 581 and the forming of a commission. I think one area, though, that any commission formed should truly look at and consider is remote connectivity or the lack thereof throughout our entire state. There's a tremendous amount of issues regarding criminal remote hearings, but those are the weeds for the commission. I humbly and respectfully would ask that the court consider appointing either myself or a representative from our office to participate.
Thank you, Mr. Escada. And I wanted to put on the record conversations that I've been having with the Nevada Department of Corrections. It's relevant to yours, Ms. Thomas, Ms. Dickinson, and Ms. Westbrook's area of practice. There has been a significant effort being made to try to secure ability to communicate with defendants or even witnesses within the Nevada Department of Corrections and their camps. And there can be quite an efficiency if some of those communications can take place virtually. The Nevada Department of Corrections is currently preparing a work plan, which we hope to discuss later this week, that will increase the opportunities for those communications to take place and save your lawyers and your offices having to travel to Ely if you choose not to have to do that. If it's, I'm not talking about hearings, I'm talking about being able to interview witnesses and your clients rather than having to drive to Ely or some of the other areas of the state where inmates are being housed. And quite frankly, the Nevada Department of Corrections Director Daniels asked me to put on the record their support for this effort. They consider this to be part of this subject matter. So I just wanted to include that on the comments. Any questions for Mr. Arascada? I'm sorry, John, go ahead.
Yes, Justice Hardesty. I echo your comments, and where it would be most beneficial is in the preparation on parole hearings, is to have that communication with our clients instead of having to come down to Carson City or elsewhere to prepare for the parole hearings.
Well, and it's interesting, the federal court magistrate judges, Baldwin and I believe Mr. Judge Fehrenbach as well, have requested this opportunity because they've got a lot of 1983 cases they'd like to be able to handle in this context and utilizing this technology. Okay, thank you, Mr. Escada, for being available today. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Anybody else in Carson City who would like to offer public comment on this administrative docket?
No, Chief.
Okay, I was also asked by Judge Paige Dollinger from the 2nd Judicial District to put on the record the work that the 2nd District has been doing independently of the work that Mr. Willick described in his public comments and with a slightly different plan, actually, which illustrates the problem that there might be differences of approaches for the bar to have to deal with. She will be supplementing, or I should say submitting, her statements in a letter. She had submitted it by email, but preferred to submit the letter. So that'll be added to the public comment record as soon as that's received. And she supports the, she and the second judges support the commission's effort. Any other public comment then? All right, then this administrative docket matter will also be submitted for the court to discuss. And we'll turn to administrative docket number 582. In this petition, as the petition outlines, again, amendments were submitted for consideration by the legislature through and on behalf of the Nevada Judges of Limited Jurisdiction, but it was a bill that was one of the Supreme Court bills to be considered. It was Assembly Bill 43. The legislature's response was to modify the language of the bill and insert a request of the Supreme Court to study and make recommendations through a commission concerning the procedural and substantive statutes and rules governing the Commission on Judicial Discipline. Further, the legislature requested that we compile statistics and related work of the commission for the legislature's consideration. I coupled this with a discussion we've had from time to time with Justice Berrigeri and others about whether the Article 6 work should be updated, which dealt with the Judicial Code and the provisions of the Judicial Code. We haven't looked at it since 2009. From time to time, I imagine each of the justices, but certainly I have been approached by the members of the bench about consideration of updating or modifications to provisions of the Judicial Code. So both are encompassed within this petition. We have received public comment on this matter as well. That public comment has come from our Nevada judges, Mr. Blandino, Mr. Dyla from the Judicial Discipline Commission, and Mark Cook, as well as Attorney Thomas Sheets. So we'll open up public comment on this administrative docket, number 582. Is there any persons in Carson City who would like to offer public comment on this petition for the creation of this commission?
I'm seeing none, Chief.
I will. All right. And then in Carson City, are there any persons who would like to offer public comment in Carson City? I didn't. Okay. Let's go with Las Vegas. I asked her. Oh, excuse me. We do have Carson City. Go ahead, Paul.
Oh.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Okay.
Put my glasses on. Good afternoon, Chief Justice Hardesty and members of the court. I am Paul Dyla, General Counsel and Executive Director of the Nevada Commission on Judicial Discipline and Executive Director of the Standing Committee on Judicial Ethics. I only have a few comments at this time, given the limited purposes of this hearing today. First, I would like to address Mr. Blandino's written comments submitted to this court. I just want to make it clear for the record that Mr. Blandino is not a volunteer investigator for the commission and never has been. Mr. Blandino can certainly investigate judicial misconduct on his own if he wishes, as do other individuals and organizations throughout this state, and file complaints with the commission. Those complaints have been and will continue to be considered just like any other complaint received by the commission. However, Mr. Blandino is not associated or affiliated with the commission in any respect. Second, I would also like to briefly address Mr. Cook and Mr. Sheets' written comments submitted to this court. For the record, Mr. Cook and Mr. Sheets were counsel to former Judge Melanie Andrus Tobiasen in a case before the commission. Their written comments are merely a continuation of their attacks on an onslaught of the commission and everyone associated with it, as they did before the commission, this court, the State Bar of Nevada, the press, as well as in the federal court, where they individually sued members of the commission, staff, investigators, and prosecuting officers. I am not going to get into the sandbox with Mr. Cook and Mr. Sheets, other than to say that the case involving their former client has concluded, and it is simply time to move on. The commission has done just that. Lastly, the commission members are literally scratching their heads in bewilderment over all this feigned outrage over how the commission operates and the manner in which it carries out its duties in addressing judicial misconduct in this state. The Discipline Commission in Nevada is organized and administered in the very same manner as the overwhelming majority of judicial discipline commissions throughout the country, which has been the case since the late 1970s. I was 8 years old when this commission was formed in 1976. Many of the commissioners serving on the commission and many of those participating at this hearing today were likewise much younger at that time. I believe that we can all agree that the processes and procedures of this commission have been in existence for quite a long time. So at the end of the day, what all these attacks and contrived narratives of impropriety concerning the commission really boils down to is rather obvious lack of knowledge of judicial disciplinary jurisprudence and history and its history. The Discipline Commission is not a civil court. It's not a criminal court. It's not an administrative court. It's not an attorney discipline organization. It is a court of judicial performance as characterized by this court, with its own longstanding history, purpose, jurisprudence, rules and procedures, and associated public policy and fiscal considerations. I think it's important to note that as long as we're taking up all our time in attacking the commission and everything and everyone associated with it, we're not talking about judicial misconduct, which I believe is the intended objective by some, not all. And it is judicial misconduct that concerns the citizens of this state the most. I can say unequivocally that the citizens, including even members of the judiciary and the bar, want a strong judicial discipline commission. Nevertheless, as I stated in the commission's written comments to this court, there are reasonable proposals to consider on behalf of the commission, the judiciary, the bar, and the public. The commission looks forward to participating during this process and to professional and honest dialogue concerning issues facing all parties over the coming months and year. Thank you, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Dyla, for being available today. Any questions from any members of the court? Seeing none, I don't see any any questions for you, Mr. Dyla. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other persons in Carson City who wanted to offer public comment today?
Others not.
Okay, are there any persons in Las Vegas who would like to offer public comment on this administrative docket petition?
Good afternoon. Again, for the record, my name is Judge Ann Zimmerman. This time I'm appearing on behalf of the Nevada Judges of Limited Jurisdiction as president-elect, and we do support the creation of this commission. And that's really all I want to say, is to put on the record that the NJLJ does support the creation of this commission.
Okay, thank you, Judge.
I would also like to add that I hope that if the commission is created, that you include a seat for attorneys who represent the judges in these matters. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions for Judge Zimmerman? I see none. Thank you, Judge. Thank you. Any other persons in Las Vegas who would like to offer public comment?
Justices, my name is Mark Cook. I believe I've recently been mentioned. I was not a party to any action. I do, as Judge Zimmerman just noted, I have represented at least a judge before the commission. My comments I submitted in writing. I'm not going to repeat them. They weren't attacks. They weren't personal. They're concerns. I did not view your petition, Justice, as to be something to allow judges to get some kind of ethical out where they get to escape. I understood the petition to be an examination of the rules for transparency and consistency, and I believe that's appropriate. In reviewing some of the responses that were against it, in particular Mr. Dyla's, one of the things I read was that we've had these rules for a long time, and we looked at this before, and so why look at it again? And first, because it's been, I think, 12 or 13 years. Second, during the 2019 Ways and Means Commission, where the Judicial Commission was asking for more money, one of the things they commented on in 2019, which is before I came along, it's not my fault, was for about a year and a half before that meeting, they had had an increase in appeals and writs and emergency motions. So that takes us to about the fall of 2017. During the March 2021 meeting on the same topic, that evidently, per Mr. Dyla, who testified, and I can give you the timestamps from both of those meetings if necessary, he repeated that concern of the increased appeals, writs, and emergency motions. If they've been increasing over the last 4.5 years, I think that is just one more reason that justifies taking a look at these rules to make sure they're applied consistently, the attorneys representing the judges are reading these the same way that the commission is, and that there's some level of clarity. I think it not only makes sense for transparency and consistency, but it makes for better judges, which is, I don't know anybody, the people who are most critical of bad judges are the good judges. And this will allow a system where we can take a look at it and make sure the rules are consistently applied. And based on the last two requests for more money by the JDC, I think it's also more fiscally responsible to tighten these up so we perhaps don't have the same level of writs and appeals and emergency hearings. And with that said, I don't want to repeat anything I put in the writing, so unless you have any questions, I'll sit down.
Any questions for Mr. Cook?
By the way, I would volunteer for the committee if requested.
Thank you, Mr. Cook. I appreciate your presence today. Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Chief Justice and Justices. My name is Sigal Chad, and I'm also here to testify on behalf of, in support of ADK 582. One of the things that I want to advise this court before I proceed into my actual transcript and my speech that I prepared is that what I will be testifying on is based on communications that myself, colleagues in the legal community, and also clients have had concerns that I believe can be addressed with the creation of this commission. And the rules as they are codified in the judicial canons are really the tenets that promote confidence by the public, not only in the judicial commission, but also the bench. And one of the issues that we have is that there is a public perception that there are some judges that are protected more by the JDC and others that aren't. And one of the issues that has consistently come up among certain attorneys is there's some judges, like I said, that are protected. And what we see is that litigants that are in front of a judge that we believe is protected, that these litigants know that no matter what this judge does on the bench, no matter how they rule, whether there's a competency issue and whether there are issues concerning these rulings, that there's no redress. And the opposite side of that is that we know that there are judges that are extremely good judges that, because of the arbitrariness of how the JDC has applied certain rules, that these judges are nitpicked and their actions are picked apart. As with all administrative bodies in our state, there is perfection and there is imperfection. And what I would like to do is I would like to bring to attention some issues that I believe need to be reviewed, and I believe that a commission would be the perfect way to review these issues. One, Mr. Crook said transparency. As an attorney, I served with the Committee on Ethics and Discipline for 12 years with the State Bar, and I think that it is quite baffling that our judges aren't afforded the same rights and the same procedures that lawyers are. In the State Bar of Nevada, we have a two-panel system. One of the preliminary issues that we deal with, there is a panel of three members that is comprised of attorneys and lay members, and that panel decides whether there is sufficient evidence to proceed with a disciplinary factor. Once that disciplinary issue is then determined, then we have a completely separate panel that adjudicates that discipline and takes evidence and testimony on that discipline. That does not exist with the JDC. With the JDC, what we have is we have one person that acts as a grand jury, acts as the person that selects the investigators, acts as the person that selects the prosecutor, and acts as the final determiner and the final adjudicator of discipline. And that is very scary for judges. That is baffling that judges are subject to that, just because we have to have this due process separation that, like I said, if it's good for attorneys, why wouldn't it be good for the judges? I have additional comments here that there's certain procedural defects. There's a conflation of what the standards of review are, as opposed to the standards of proof to bring the formal charges. So is the standard of review a reasonable probability that the panel will have clear and convincing evidence to discipline the judicial officer, or is it a two-part standard? So there's these issues that we have are really, this is why it's necessary for the commission to review not only the standards of proof at the time, because we know that we have clear and convincing to adjudicate a discipline, but to file the formal charges, we have reasonable probability. So I think that needs to be addressed. I think also one of the issues that I see with the rules now that we have with lawyer discipline is I don't see sets of aggravating factors, mitigating factors. The Supreme Court reviews attorney discipline all the time. And when an attorney is suspended or if an attorney is disbarred, these are things that you guys get to see when we issue or when I did issue suspensions or any other type of misconduct issues. Now, I will submit the rest of my notes, but I think that I've given a couple of examples where it's necessary to start a commission. The purpose of my testimony is not to rewrite the rules. I don't think that that's what we're doing today, as the Chief Justice said, but I do think that when we do have a commission that investigates the rules and policies of judicial discipline, it does instill public confidence both, like I said, in the judiciary and in the judicial commission. And with that, thank you. Defer to the court for any questions.
Any questions for counsel? Thank you for making the time to be here. And yes, I invite you and anyone to submit your written comments to supplement your statements.
I will. Thank you.
Yes. Anyone else in Las Vegas who would like to speak on this topic? Good afternoon.
Alexander Falcone, administrator of our Nevada judges. I just have some notes on my phone. I've already provided written comments, but I did want to give you guys some analytics from the public who've observed our comprehensive coverage of the Commission on Judicial Discipline's proceedings. For the year 2020, we had 10,892 citizens observe the proceedings from beginning to end, with a total of 193,919 watch time minutes. Approval
Mr.
by
Falcone,
the, go ahead.
Sorry, can you slow down and get closer to the mic?
Not used to this. With an approval rating of 98.07%, that's all I have to add.
Okay, thank you very much for being present today. Any questions for Mr. Falcone? All right, thank you, sir. Anyone else who would like to offer a public comment to the court on this administrative docket? All right, seeing none, this administrative docket number 582 will also be submitted for the court's determination and deliberation. I'd like to thank all of you for taking the time to come to the courthouse here and in Carson City to offer your input. And I'd like to thank those people who offered written comments. We're very much appreciated. We'll be in recess.